بسم الله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My name is Badr al-Din Muhammad.
My name is Talha Rafiq.
And welcome to episode 10 of The College Muslim. So together, me and Talha run The College Muslim podcast. This is a podcast where we talk about our experiences growing up Muslim in high school and college, and to talk about our experiences and what we've done to sort of cope with our environment, and just to show you all that y'all are not alone. So inshallah, today our topic is going to be
feeling lost as a Muslim. So that encompasses a lot of different details that we'll go over, as well as what exactly that means to us. And it might mean something different to you guys, but hopefully what we talk about today kind of resonates with some of you and gives you some guidance as to like what we did to overcome that feeling of lostness in Islam, whether it be feeling a lostness when it comes to prayer or feeling like a disconnect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and even just a hardship in believing. So we're gonna be talking about all those things today, and inshallah we'll be able to come to some kind of conclusion, if we ever even get to a conclusion, because usually our rambles keep going on forever.
Yes, but that's what you all are here for.
That's hopefully that's what you guys are here for.
Inshallah.
Okay, so so the first thing I guess is, what do we mean by feeling lost in Islam?
Yeah, it's right? A very big, like, okay, just the word feeling lost can mean multiple things, and I think there's certain things that we're going to talk about today in this episode that fall within that purview, but there's also going to be things that people experience when they feel lost that's not going to fall within that purview. But inshallah, we'll try to cover things that we can talk about today, and it'll be beneficial to all of you. So for me, when I think of just being lost as a Muslim, I think of days when I'm still going through the motions. Like, I'm still doing my Friday like prayers. I may be making dua, making dhikr. Sometimes when I'm just like I'll be like, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, things like that. But at the end of the day, whatever I'm working on or I'm working towards on during that day, I just don't feel direction. Mm-hmm. I think that's the best way to describe it. I just, in my head, it just feels very nebulous. It feels like I'm just floating around in space. Very kind of like more painting like description, but I just feel like usually on certain days I'll feel a sense of direction, like whatever I'm working on, I'll be like, okay, I'm working on this because of this and because of that, and when I'm praying, I'll be like, okay, I'm praying because I want to get hasanat and I want to go to Jannah. So like there's just very like direction, and I guess that's me being like a very object oriented person, like a goal oriented person, where I don't feel a sense of direction, where I feel like I'm doing things because I've said to myself that I'll do these things for that day, like the day before, the night before, but I don't feel a sense of direction of what I'm doing. What about you? What do you think of when you hear the word being lost?
So I definitely also feel what you're saying as well. Like that's something that I might face now, but also like in the past when I would feel lost as a Muslim was also just questioning Islam, right? Like feeling like, oh, this doesn't make sense. Like I feel lost, like in the fact, like where is that spiritual feeling that everyone's talking about? And that's more like it's like a bigger picture kind of thing. It's like a step back. Like you kind of have to like understand what you're believing and why you're believing in it, and that's something we can like dive into soon. But I think one of the biggest problems now for me is some days I just don't feel that connection while praying, right? And so like feeling lost even when it's kind of the same thing as you, like you were talking about how sometimes you just go about your day and it's like through the motions kind of thing, and you're not exactly sure what's going on, you're not fully like aware of it, and you're like, what's going on, right? Like I feel like that comes out a lot now, especially because there's a lot to do in college and there's a lot of like things that pull your attention away from those kind of things.
So scientists call it like sensory overload, especially when in the 21st century, especially when we're in college or high school or any like institution where we're around so many different things. Forget our phones, just even in like in the physical world, we're just so around so many things. I think that sensory overload can kind of pull you away from being able to focus on one thing, even no matter how goal oriented or like driven of a person you are. That sensory overload and just being like, okay, that's happening on campus, this is happening on campus, there's this person I need to talk to, I'm passing by this person, and all these things can kind of take you away from, especially when you're praying, it can kind of take you away from, there's so many things happening around me, it's hard to focus on the one thing, my connection to Allah.
And that's why I know like prayer is meant to like make you like five times a day like step back, take a second, recover.
Definitely.
But sometimes you'll be praying and it'll just feel empty. And yeah, you're like, what, you don't, you can't recoup from that.
One thing I will say that happens to me a lot, especially when I'm praying at like the last minute. I think
that's another thing.
And
I found that as soon as if you're attentive about your prayer,
yeah,
like intentional, like as soon as the clock strikes the right time for the hood, then you're going to get up and go pray. There's more like
I hear this all the time when like it's literally just like, it's actually a couple of days ago, there one of Yakin Institute's, have you been watching their Judgment Day series?
The 30 foot.
No, the day.
Oh, yeah. The one where he sits in front of like the epic lighting. Yeah. And all that. Yeah, I've been watching that.
That lighting is all the cinematography is just insane. But
yeah,
I was watching the video on your prayer and how your prayers will come, like your salah will come to testify for you on the day of judgment. And Omar Suleiman, Sheikh Omar Suleiman, is talking about how you like the one who rushes towards the prayer. Those are the people on the day of judgment who will be running towards Allah, and those who delay their prayer are the ones who will be literally like walking on their face on the day of judgment. And first of all, that's just a very harrowing thing to think about. Like, I literally like, I paused the video when I was doing that. I literally like, I hit the space bar and I'm just like, whoa.
Yeah.
Cause I'm if you know my mom, she'll literally tell you this, but like, I'm someone who like back when I was in high school, I would delay my prayers until the end, but just like when you're in high school,
yeah, you're not as driven to get up.
On stuff. So like I'd be like, okay, I'm working on whatever homework I'm doing, and then once I finish this problem set or this page, then I'll go pray. Even if the prayer time started. And my mom would tell me that there's barakah in praying at the beginning of the prayer time. And I never understood that back when I was in high school. I was like, why? Like, this makes no sense. But now that I'm in college, I realize like when I'm praying closer to the end of prayer, when I'm trying to rush in, or I'm trying to like, one thing I'll do is on my calendar, I'll like put prayer times in, but like I'll just like, if I wake up a little bit later, or like I'm taking a nap, or like I'm to work out something, I push that prayer, like that little block on my calendar a little bit down.
Yeah.
I feel more rushed to get to that prayer. And when I am praying, I feel really rushed to, especially when it comes, because prayer is a connection to your Lord. It's your connection to Allah. And when I start at the beginning of the prayer time, so say Fajr's, not Fajr, Dhuhr's like at 1 o'clock, right? So, but then Asr is at 4:30. So if I'm praying Dhuhr at four,
you, I feel like you can group them.
Yeah, no, not to group them. I'm just praying at four, so then I can like,
oh, so you can move. Okay.
So I can just like, I can finish that, take a little break, and then just pray right afterwards. But when I'm praying at four, I'm, even though I know there's still like 30 minutes left, I'm not rushing the prayer, but I don't feel that sense of connection, just because I'm like, there's another prayer in the next 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So I just need to get through this, and then I'll do that.
Yeah.
But if I'm praying at one, I feel a very big difference when it comes to that. When I feel I'm praying and I feel a connection to Allah, and I feel like I'm like the verses of Surah Al-Fatiha that I'm reciting, I have more time and I have more cognizance, because I'm like, oh, Asr is like 4 hours away, 4.5 hours away. So yeah, I can like take my time, I can reflect on the meaning of each and every verse of what I'm saying in Surah Al-Fatiha and things like that.
So yeah, and that's why I feel
big
like
difference.
Even like Fajr namaz is like my best one, because like at that time I wake up only to pray.
Gotcha.
Right. Unless it's Ramadan and I'm waking up to like eat as well, right?
But it's the best one for me, because I pull a lot of all-nighters, which isn't good.
Okay,
this is not good advice.
Yeah. Don't pull all-nighters. It's not good for you.
but if you are pulling all-nighters, for me, like, that's the end of my day. Like,
yeah,
that's the end of my all-nighter is Fajr. So I like to sleep after Fajr.
Yeah.
Well, right now anyway, when like I don't have to like,
in general though, for most of you,
yeah,
Fajr will be the first thing you do in the day, inshallah.
Yes, it should be.
And that's why I feel like it gives you the most clarity, because you're waking up and you literally just have a little bit of time to yourself to like recompense and like sit down and actually take some time with yourself.
Yeah.
But one thing you brought up that I actually like wanted to highlight was,
for sure,
when you do feel like this emptiness, or when you feel like this like lostness or disconnect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whether it be, so we talk really about prayer, but this topic is more broad than that. It's just feeling lost as a Muslim. When you feel lost, it doesn't mean you didn't feel connected before. So for me, like, one of the big things like I've had to like realize is, you know, some days I'm not gonna feel that connection when I'm praying. But that's why a lot of like scholars also say, like, no matter what, just get up and pray. Like, go do your five prayers, they're obligatory. Like, keep doing them and something will click eventually, right? Yeah. But what really hurts me isn't the fact that I'm making myself go pray when I'm not vibing with it and feeling it. The other issue with me is, I'm like, where did that connection go? Right? Because I experienced something positive 2 months ago when I was praying, but now where did that feeling go? Like, I lost that incredible sense of like my soul being filled, that how it was happening 2 months ago. And that feeling of feeling lost in a way also makes me like, this like is obviously not something you want to think, but it's like, where did all this go? Like, what why
one thing I want to highlight in that is that like, some like, you can look at that. You can look at that in two ways. You can look at that in one way as like, oh, like, where did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala go? Like, has he abandoned me? Like, I'm so done with it. But another way that I think this is another Judgment Day video. Honestly, Judgment Day has been like keeping me going this Ramadan.
I'm glad. Something's good out there.
It's a really good series. Mm-hmm. But I don't. It's either from this or it's from somewhere else. But in this video, they were talking about how feeling that emptiness, feeling like. Then they were talking more about when it comes to sinning, like when you sin and then you feel bad about it. But even in this sense, like say you, like you were saying, one day you're praying and you feel that connection, the next day you don't feel that connection, and there's that sense of emptiness. That sense of emptiness, you can, a good way to contextualize that, and that's worked for me really well, is contextualizing that as I still have my iman, I still have my hidayah, and I'm still guided in Islam, and I'm still Muslim. That's why I feel that emptiness. It's because there's something that either in my actions or in something that day or something that I did or that's happening to me that's taking away from that connection that I've built with Allah that I had the other day. And whatever that is, I can figure out my life, whether it be I just need to take a break from like working so hard, or I just need to get some more sleep and give my body its due. Mm. Whatever those things are, it forces me to analyze myself, and it contextualizes it in a positive way. Instead of in a negative way of feeling like, oh, where did Allah go? Or like, maybe I'm like, my iman is gone. Like, maybe I just don't believe in Allah anymore. So things like that. So thinking that way and contextualizing it in a negative sense, you can contextualize in a positive sense. And the way I do it is like, I had that connection yesterday. I don't have it now. So therefore, I feel an emptiness. There is a spot in my heart where I feel as though I've lost this really close friend of mine that I used to have a connection with. I used to talk with my friend. And I used to ask my friend for things. I used to ask my Lord for things. But I just don't feel that today. So there's something in today that I need to figure out whatever it is. Whether it be I'm working too hard, like I'm being a workaholic, and I'm just like negating my prayers or like neglecting my dua. Or maybe I bring up work and sleep because those are like my biggest weaknesses. Mm-hmm. It's like I'm either working way too much and I'm just like not taking a break for salah or dua, or I'm either just not sleeping enough and I'm just like chugging coffee all day. Okay. you know me. Yeah. So those are like my two biggest things where I can contextualize that emptiness in those are the first two things I turn to, is either I need more sleep or I need to take a break.
Yeah.
That's what works for me.
So yeah, it's basically a sign and like a rec, like, if you were to always feel good and you were to always feel that connection,
there's no reason to introspect or reflect.
Exactly. Yeah. So this drives introspection and reflection, which inshallah would drive you to like
get closer with Allah.
Institute more change in order to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we often realize that when we work on ourselves, when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it comes back tenfold. Like I've worked on myself. Like just like when I went from like not praying consistently to praying 5 times a day, right? Once I hit that 5 times a day like rhythm, other things improved as well. So I was rewarded tenfold by just praying 5 times a day.
Yeah, you walk towards Allah and Allah runs towards you.
Yeah, literally. Oh my God, I had the quote up. But yeah, we'll pull that back later. Yeah, but yeah. For anyone who wants to know that's from Sahih Bukhari.
Sahih Bukhari.
Yeah, so... I can actually just read it out.
Go ahead, read it.
Yeah. I am as my servants think. I am as my servant thinks I am. I am with him when he mentions me. If he mentions me to himself, I mention him to myself. And if he mentions me in an assembly, I mention him in an assembly greater than it. If he draws near to me a hand's length, I draw near to him an arm's length. And if he comes to me walking, I go to him at speed. And that's exactly what you were like brought up.
It's been a while since I've heard that, like
the full hadith
in its wording. Yeah.
Most people just say, "Run to me and I'll run to you."
Or like, right? "You walk to Allah, Allah runs to you."
But yeah, the full wording,
which is a good reminder in and of itself. But like, it's just beautiful to hear it sometimes.
Yeah. Like if you mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I mention him to myself.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's like, if you're asking for dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's also, I want to bring that up again because I was watching Judgment Day again a couple of days ago.
Okay.
And Sheikh Muslim was talking about dhikr and the importance of dhikr and how it doesn't need to be like, so I feel like some people think, and I when I say some people, I mean people in like my community, like the Desi community sometimes, like people around me sometimes think that dhikr has to be something where you like sit down and you like, you don't do anything else and you just like just
meditate
or you like you pick up the tisbih and you just like start like putting the beads, and you just need to like devote time to that. One thing I realized is that you can do dhikr at any time. Sometimes I'll just be like typing away like my lab report or something for Kevin. I'll just be like subhanallah, alhamdulillah. I'll be like la ilaha illallah, muhammad rasulullah. Like those things, like I might not be like giving my 100% attention to saying those things, but it's not just saying that is drawing connection towards Allah. And it connects back to that hadith where it comes to just mentioning Allah in the actions that you're doing will imbue those actions with barakah, but also Allah mentions himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. About you.
And that's a great reminder for when you're feeling lost too. Like when you're feeling lost is not the time you should be turning away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Like that is again an indicator to be like, okay, let me revamp and let me go harder at this.
Yeah.
Right. And it's hard to do that. I get it, because human beings are like creatures of like habit as well as motivation.
Yeah.
So preferably you want to set up the habit so that when you have that lack of motivation, your habits take over.
Definitely.
But motivation plays a very big key factor into how we operate on a day-to-day basis. And
once again, one other thing I want to highlight when it comes to dhikr and feeling lost. Whenever I feel lost, like the moment I start feeling lost, I say the shahada. Like that's what that, for me anyway, that's that's like the easiest, that's the easiest, like it's kind of like you're falling off a cliff and you just like throw that rope up or that like that grappling hook up. Like that's what the shahada is to me. Like whenever I feel like I'm floating away, like the shahada is what like anchors me back. And I like sometimes I reflect on like the power of the shahada and what it really means to say I bear witness that Allah is only the only being worthy of worship and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger. Like that is the definition of who I am as a Muslim. Like that is my life. That is who I am. Like people talk about like what is your identity, like where do you come from, or like all these things about like what your identity makes up as Muslims, and as me as a Muslim, for me, my identity first and foremost is rooted in the shahada.
So when you start losing yourself, you essentially remind yourself of who you are.
Yeah, remind yourself who you are. And we were literally just talking about like my love for superheroes while back. Like one superhero that's like kind of like parallels that is like the Green Lantern. I don't know if you know anything about that.
Yeah,
it's like the Green Lantern has like their oath of like lanterns and like
okay.
When I was a kid, bear with me. When I was a kid, and I was watching shows. Whenever like the Green Lantern starts like losing his power, he like lifts up his ring and like he says his like little oath of like in brightest day and blackest night kind of thing.
Yeah.
So like that's what the shahada is to me. It's like whenever I start feeling lost, whenever I start feeling the power drained out of me, like I think it was literally just a couple of days ago. I was sick and I was also like trying to like work on like my midterms and everything. Mm-hmm. And I just like one day I was just like, what am I doing? And I just stood in front of my window and I just like look, I do this a lot. I just like look out my window and I just like people watch, or I'll just like, even if there's no people, I'll just like look out my window and just watch because I'm just so lost. And it's at that moment that I just had to say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. And like that brings me back. It kind of completes me and like draws that power back into the power of Allah. And for me, it works really well.
Oh yeah, that's a pretty good technique.
Yeah,
I might try that. Yeah, no, I usually for me what I do is whether I feel lost like spiritually or even just like consumed and everything else, I just pull out the prayer mat and I sit on it. Right, so like for me that's like entering back into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if there's a masallah or a masjid near you, like there is one near us, like I'll just go sit there sometimes.
Definitely.
But like that's kind of my avenue to feeling like,
I mean, I remember that was that one night where I was playing all nighter and you came in and you just like sat down.
Yeah
I remember that night.
So like that's kind of like, that was just my personal technique.
It's a good technique.
Because to me, we are all technically guests on Earth, right? Like we're not here forever. And we're only here because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to give us a chance to be here, right? So for me, I'm entering his household on this planet Earth. And I'm letting him decide what to do with me, right?
Yeah.
And like sometimes I leave feeling more fulfilled. Sometimes I leave feeling even more empty. But whatever I leave with is, I know is like, I gave myself the shot of going there and sitting down in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's house, and regardless of what he decides for me is what is best for me.
Yeah, and whatever you get out of that experience is Allah giving you something, a tool to get you back on track.
Exactly.
Another thing is like another reason why that coping strategy is really good is because, once again, I was watching Judgment Day a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And one of the five under the shade, or seven under the shade, one of the groups under the shade, I don't want to butcher the number, but there's a certain number of people under the shade of Allah's arsh on... towards the end of the days when like there's like the glaring heat and everything, one of those groups is the youth who are connected to the masajid and the masallas. That's also like one of the reasons why that coping strategy is really good too.
And that's another thing is like, as a youth, especially in, first of all, as a kid anywhere, right, it's very, you're figuring yourself out obviously, so it's not going to be incomprehensible that you're going to feel lost. Even in completely Muslim countries, like a lot of people feel lost at some point in their life, because you can instill like a habit. You can teach your kid how to pray 5 times a day, et cetera, et cetera. But I truly, firmly believe this. Like, even if you're born a Muslim, you have to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on your own. Like, you cannot force that connection.
Yeah.
And you can foster it, and you can, like, depending on your community and depending on your parents, it can be fostered. But you cannot force that, right? Yeah. So even in countries that are Muslim, like, dominant, right?
Yeah. Quote-unquote Muslim countries, yeah.
Quote-unquote Muslim countries, right?
Yeah.
You're not going to just be free of all problems when it comes to, like, feeling that disconnect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or disconnect or lost as a Muslim, right? So when it comes to, for example, sitting in the masjid or whatever these things are, you want to develop, like, these techniques that at the least put you in the position to reconnect, or put you in the position to feel some kind of closeness. You don't want to just ignore it, right?
Yeah.
So if you do feel lost as a Muslim, you don't just want to, like, stand up and walk away, because that is possibly the worst thing you could do to yourself, right? Like, still pray 5 times a day. I know you might even get distracted. You might not even be concentrating on your salah, but pray 5 times a day. Like, get up and make the motions and say the words. And not only will you develop that habit, because when you're going through the tough times that you're doing it, then during the good times, you'll be doing it as well. But you aren't giving up.
Yeah.
Right. And mentally, that's going to be a very big not indicator, but a very big reason for how you're going to be able to get through it. Because the moment that you tell your mind, like, oh, this isn't good for me, or this isn't what for me, when it is decreed that this stuff is good for you.
Yeah.
Right. The moment you do that is when the feeling lost turns into, like, arrogance and ignorance and losing yourself. And that's the problem. So feeling lost isn't the problem. And I think way too many times, like, in especially the Western culture here, or just maybe culture in general, but I can only talk from a Western culture perspective. A lot of families, when you're starting to feel lost, you're kind of scared to tell your parents and come out. Like, it's almost like, it's like you're not supposed to feel lost.
And I think this is, like, a big call to all of our communities that I kind of want to give, is feeling lost does not mean that the person has lost themselves yet. So that feeling of, like, just especially, like, I'm going to use that allegory again of, like, falling off a cliff. That's what it feels like, especially when you start becoming lost, or you feel like you're falling, but you haven't hit rock bottom yet. And as communities, as Muslim communities, we need to do better at helping those people and catching those people as they're falling, and not just giving up on them until they hit rock bottom. What happens is that usually we wait until the person hits rock bottom, and then we try to build them up. But at that point, it's you're fighting a very, very hard battle to bring someone back from that kind of stage. Not that it's impossible, but if we as communities, even as, like, not even just, like, I'm not even talking about, like, big, like, Desi communities or Arab communities or whatever. I'm talking about, like, MSUs and MSAs. When it comes to fostering a Muslim student union or a Muslim student association, we need to do better at realizing the people who are around us, our fellow Muslim students, and doing better at talking to people and getting to a point and making connections with people, so we can realize when they are falling or when they feel like they're falling, and they feel comfortable enough to come to us. So, and this doesn't have to be a leader or anyone. It can be literally just any person in a community. That's what being in a community means. Being in a community means you are someone who you are part of a larger group of people, of a larger group of brothers and sisters who care for each other. And caring for each other means that you build connections with each other and that people feel comfortable coming to you.
Yeah, and I don't see that why that seems like an irregular thing anyways. Like, coming back to, like, the hadith as well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only requires you to take a few steps towards him or put out a hand towards him, and he gives you back 10 times what you put out towards him.
Yeah.
So isn't our goal then supposed to be live up to his words as well as Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And if someone else is, like, having just maybe taking steps, like, for example, the salah thing, like, if you don't feel it, just take the step to pray salah, and it will come back to you. Like, maybe not in the moment immediately, but maybe later on. And if not later on, then in the day of judgment. Because everything is also, like, very conditional and circumstantial. Like, a poor man giving his money away is going to have more, I mean, I'm not one to, like, obviously be the judger, right? But a poor man giving money is a lot more difficult than a rich man giving his money away.
Absolutely.
Right? So,
although sometimes it could be other way around, but that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah. But, like, talking from a very, like,
From, like, a more
philosophical, like,
materialistic perspective,
like, obviously the poor man. And, like, you would expect, obviously, that to have more barakah in it, because he's giving away what little he does have.
Yeah.
Right? And it's the same exact way with the prayer stuff. Like, if you're going through a difficult time and you're still putting it in,
yeah,
that's going to come back to you a lot more.
Absolutely.
Than you just, if you're really vibing and feeling like, if things are easy for you, like, mashallah, subhanAllah, like, yeah. I'm so happy for you, yeah. Right? But
also, like, when things are easy, it is much easier to do things.
To do them, and right.
One thing, another thing I kind of want to highlight is, we were talking about Western culture,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like we have this culture of quitting too easily sometimes, and a lack yeah. of commitment, and that's, it goes in many things, topics that inshallah we'll get to later on in this podcast, mm-hmm. and as we grow throughout the years, but the lack of commitment when it comes to just in general, just like when it, lack of commitment and also just quitting too easily. When we start to feel, and I've had conversations with people before about this, but like when you start to like feel like you are falling, sometimes people will be like, it's my time to just give everything up. Just like the first instance where something knocks me down, I need to, I'm going to do the whole, like, I'm going to set up the whole rock climbing thing again.
Yeah.
So say you are rock climbing, and I've never rock climbed. I don't know why I keep coming back to rock climbing.
Okay.
But okay, rock climbing. So you have your rope, but as soon as that rope starts to give away a little bit, or as soon as you start to fall a little bit, sometimes letting go isn't the answer.
No,
that'd be the worst decision ever, to just like say your rope starts to get a little loose, and then you just give up and you just fall. Like, logically, that wouldn't be the right thing to do. And similarly, when we start to feel lost in, as a Muslim, when we start to feel, why am I doing something, or like start to feel a seed of doubt, that is a time when we should be doubling down on our things. And even if it's not even doubling down on our salah or whatever religious actions that we're doing, just doing them and just going through the motions. I feel like going through the motions gets a bad rap sometimes when it doesn't really need to. Like, going through the motions isn't always a bad thing. Going through the motions when it comes to Islam, like just doing your salah and taking those steps towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even when you are lost, inshallah, Allah says that He will come running to you. So expect a higher reciprocal reward when it comes to whatever you're doing. You might be putting in the motions, but Allah could be deliberately coming towards you.
Yeah.
And you might not see it, and it might not be in exactly the way that you want it to happen, but inshallah it will happen. And I think it was yesterday's episode of Judgment Day talking about like unanswered prayers. Sometimes we pray for certain things and we don't get them, like especially when we're lost and we're like, okay, so this is how I'm lost in life, and we ask Allah for guidance back to Him in a certain way. And we might not get that guidance in that certain way or in a certain time frame that we want, but that doesn't mean that Allah isn't listening to our dua. And I forgot the rest of the video, but they're talking about how those unanswered prayers will come back on the Day of Judgment. And there's something talking about, I don't want to quote that because I don't exactly remember, but like unanswered prayers aren't just random prayers, or aren't just wasted prayers. It's kind of what I want to say, is going through the motions, doing the things that we should be doing, whether it be doing our prayers, doing dhikr, doing dua, when, even when we are lost, those are still very, very important. And even if you don't feel the complete khushu' and the complete connection that you might feel on certain days when life is all good, doesn't mean that you should stop doing your prayers, and you should stop doing your dua, and you should stop doing your dhikr. And just going through the motions, it can be helpful.
Yeah.
It might sound counterproductive, but it can be helpful.
Yeah. It just comes back down to what is your intention, and your intention is not to give up.
Definitely.
So like that's what going through the motions in that case is. You shouldn't be going through the motions like when you kind of have control over things, but like, you know, relying on your habit, that's why we develop habits, is so we can rely on them sometimes.
Exactly.
Right. So what's the point of developing a habit, like praying 5 times a day, and then when you're feeling rough that you're not actually sticking to your habits, right?
Better example would probably be like classes. Like, we do our homework, or we work, or we like study for classes.
Yeah.
It's not like every single time you do an assignment, you don't put in 100% of your attention into it. Sometimes once you get to a point where you've done a certain type of assignment multiple times, you can just kind of do it like it's just rote memorization kind of thing.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that that's not giving you any benefit. It's definitely benefiting your grade very well.
Yeah.
So in the same way, just because that doesn't mean we never give attention to our salah and we never have khushu' in our salah, but when life is good and when we aren't feeling lost, if we have that khushu', the reason why we do that is so when we are lost, we are still able to go through the motions, still able to put in the work.
Yeah, that's another thing. That actually brings up another thing. The next thing that I wanted to get into was sometimes, like, I've also discovered this, is when I do feel lost, it just means I feel stagnated. So kind of coming back to, like, your thing about homework, right? So if you get into the routine of doing these questions and then all of a sudden they just click and you don't have to even think about it, like it's muscle memory, right?
Yeah.
When it comes to even a sport, like just if you're running the same route over and over again, eventually you just get used to it.
So many examples I could use. I don't know why I said rock climbing.
I have no idea why you said rock climbing. but anyways, so for me also when I first, and still now when I feel lost sometimes, or that disconnect, I realize it's also an indicator to be like, oh, you've hit this certain thing. Yeah. It's time to move to the next step, right? So like, for example, again, when it comes down to like praying 5 times a day, once I was like pretty stable in that and maybe only missed a prayer if like circumstances like truly dictated it, like if I was driving or something, right? Mm-hmm. And even then, sometimes I just pull over.
Yeah.
But once I hit that like stagnation, I'm like, okay, 5 prayers. All right, now what?
Yeah.
Right. And that's what I felt lost. I was when I was like, okay. But then I began to think, like, when I was like maybe reading some suttas that I didn't understand, then I mentally thought, wait a minute, what does this even mean? Like, why am I even doing this? And that made me feel lost. But it was also, but I treated it as, oh, wow, you're praying all your 5 prayers now. You don't have to mentally worry about that. Let's move to the next step. Let's learn the meanings of the suttas. Right.
Yeah.
Let's see what you're actually saying when you're praying. And that is also another way I treat, that's another way I treat, like, when I feel lost, it doesn't always mean it's a negative lostness, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes that feeling internally, especially when it comes to religion, just can, it can mean that, hey, you're ready for the next step, or hey, you need to vary and add more things. The beautiful thing about Islam is, yes, prayer is mandatory, but it's not the only thing in it. Like, Islam is a structure to life, right? So if you want to learn about, like this podcast is talking about Islam, but we're not...
And I think that's kind of what separates Islam from being a religion to a way of life, is because religion would just tell you, like you said, like religion would tell you to pray 5 times a day. And then once you get to the 5 times a day and you get into the habit of it, then you're done. That's it. Khalas. But a way of life means that you pray, you learn to pray those 5 times a day, and then you go on to the next step. You start learning to get at least a verse in every day of Quran, or a page in every day, and then you start working on dhikr and dua, and then you start to implement Islam in other parts of your life, whether it be like,
I mean, most of these episodes we talk about is literally like the hypocrisy, or maybe like these other things. Those are like just implementations of Islam.
Yeah, and they're imbuing Islam into the smaller parts of your life.
Exactly, and that's what Islam is meant to be. It's supposed to be a way of life.
Yeah,
like it's too often like extrapolated as like just, hey, it's just a religion.
Yeah.
Again, like I remember saying this a while back, but it's like Islam has become like, oh, like this is just a religion, and I am Muslim because it's a religion. Yeah. But people
and there's truth in the sense that need to get to Jannah is La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Like just having that belief is what gets you to Jannah. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that we stop there. And someone who truly believes that Allah exists and Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is His messenger, and Allah has rules and implementations of things that He wants to do in our life, would realize that having that belief automatically translates into praying 5 times a day and imbuing Islam into the rest of your life.
Yeah, and it just comes down to the potential that you have. Like, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a reason.
Yeah.
As an example of a human being. Like, I mean, he was the best of human beings.
Yeah.
But he was a human being. And he sent him an example of, this is the potential that you have. This is who you should strive to be. And if that's some kind of reasonable goal, because we can't expect to be like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, you know what? That's subhanAllah. That's not what we're asked to be doing.
Yeah.
Right? He doesn't want us to be perfect.
Allah never asks us to be perfect. Like, a nas is someone who is means a being who sins. So yes, we will mess up and we will have pitfalls. But what Islam as a way of life is its constant improvement.
Exactly.
And that's something that I've pieced together myself, is just realizing that there's always something I can do better in my life, but that doesn't mean I need to fix everything right away, like cold turkey, because it's not going to work.
Exactly.
It's not going to work.
And that ties back to that whole feeling lost.
Yeah.
Like, every day is going to be an improvement kind of game.
Exactly.
Like, how can I become a better Muslim?
And the moment you feel lost, you fix one thing. You focus on one thing. And for me, like, the easiest thing for me to, not fix, but the easiest thing for me to remind myself of is the shahada. So as soon as I feel lost, the one thing I laser focus on straight away is the shahada. Is like,
do you also focus on like the shahada and like do that when you feel like, one other thing we felt about, like talked about being lost in the very beginning, was like feeling the maybe we didn't talk about it, but just in general, like feeling too far, like this comes back to be feeling too far gone.
Yeah.
But like sometimes you feel lost because you just maybe sinned a bit too much, and you're like, wow, I'm not deserving of praying anymore, or like, oh, I can't turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now. But that comes back to this hadith as well, like, you should be turning back to him, like, no matter how much
for you sinned. For me, the first thing, so I'm a, like I said, like, we're both very, like, goal-oriented people, yeah. Both people who, like, have certain goals that we want to achieve, and that's just who we are as people, like, our personality-wise. So the easiest thing for me, like, as, like, whenever I start to feel too far gone, like, in the sense of I feel like, oh, maybe I've sinned a little bit too much, or my sins have overwhelmed me, is the first thing I have to remind myself is that, like, Allah never says, Allah does not expect humanity to never sin at all. And Allah does not expect humanity to only have, like, one sin their entire life. Mm-hmm. This was a while ago. I forgot where I read it or where I saw it, but talking about how, I think it was Mufti Mink. He was talking about how that at the end of the day, at the end of the life, our life, and at the end of the world, what matters is on a scale of good versus bad. Mm-hmm. So if your sins ever overwhelm you, first of all, the first thing I need to realize is that, like, the fact that I'm feeling overwhelmed is a sign. It's a good thing. Like, that overwhelmingness and that feeling of being too far gone, that's a good thing. That's a reminder that I still have iman in me, that I still have God consciousness, and that I still believe in Allah. Because if I didn't believe in Allah, then I would never feel overwhelmed. The sins would mean nothing to me. Mm-hmm. But the fact that the sins do mean something, and something that Umar Suleiman also talked about in his Judgment Day series, is that, like, the fact that your sins do affect you is a good thing. That means that you still have a piece, a shred of your soul left. Yeah. You still have a piece of Islam left in you. And if you work and if you water that seed of Islam, inshallah, it will grow and it will flourish once again. Mm-hmm. And the second, after I realized that, the second thing I realized that, like, I'm not done. Like, I'm still alive. That Allah is still giving me all the facilities to continue doing good deeds. And I can still continue to fill that right side of the scale. Yeah. And I still have the chance to do so. Like, I'm not, just because I feel overwhelmed right now does not mean I'm done.
Yeah.
There's still more to do.
Especially when you feel overwhelmed, or when you feel like, when you have sinned, like, you were in that moment, we're not taken off the planet Earth.
Yeah.
Like, you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still give you breath to commit that sin.
Exactly.
Right? So, like,
well, I didn't give you the breath to commit the sin.
He didn't take away everything the moment you committed the sin. Yeah. Right? And he allowed you time after, if you did commit a sin, like, to essentially ask for forgiveness. So, like,
Sheikh Omar Salman was talking about this too, is how, like, Allah has the power to take away something as soon as you sin. Like, say you did something wrong with your hands, Allah could take away your hands at that very moment. Say you looked at something that you shouldn't have looked at, Allah could take away your eyesight at that very second, but he doesn't.
And he gives you time to
ask for forgiveness. And what that means is that you have time to ask for forgiveness, and you have time to do more good deeds to balance out your scale.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not just like we get on our heads so much about committing sins, or feeling lost, and just like maybe lack of motivation when it comes to Islamic, all that stuff.
Yeah.
At the same time, you can feel connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you do good things.
Yeah.
So don't treat good things as emptiness. Now, don't go be flaunting them to people, right? Like, same way that you're not supposed to expose sin, you're not supposed to expose all your good deeds.
Yeah.
And the only good deeds that should be exposed are the ones that just inherently by doing them, they're exposed, right? But when you do commit good deeds, or when you do give yourself some credit and use that as a form of ibadah, because all your good deeds are from
give yourself credit. But obviously there's a fine line between giving yourself credit and arrogance, but you are right, you should, whenever you do commit a good deed, you should feel good about it and use that as fuel to do more good deeds and to get closer to
Allah. And a great dividing line between arrogance and that is expecting something from the good deeds in this dunya, as well as expecting and opening, like, obviously your mouth about good deeds, like,
and obviously you can expect Allah to reward you in the hereafter for your good deeds.
Yes.
But in this dunya, yes. To expect Allah to, as soon as, to be like, oh, I fed a cat today, now I need $1 million.
Exactly.
Like,
that's not gonna happen.
That's not a justifiable reason.
The only reason I bring that up is because
it happens. Yeah, you're right.
We feel lost for various reasons, but we can also develop connection through actions. Like, it's not all going to happen, like, for a lot of people, and for me in the beginning when I was, like, really discovering Islam for myself, it wasn't it wasn't happening through prayer, right? My good deeds that I was feeling connection was by spending time with my mom and dad, which I never had in high school for too much. So COVID, that was my COVID year essentially, and basically I actually sat down and had conversation with my mom and dad, and that brought me closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because I truly believe, like, that they were good deeds. I was spending time with my family, and they were positive reinforcement conversations.
Little tangent here, but like, a lot of, like, the the newer sheikhs, and even like even the older sheikhs, when they talk about like parenting, they talk a lot about, I feel like especially in the Desi community, Islam always starts out with the sins and the punishment and the hellfire. It should be the other way around.
We've seen that change somewhat too.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Like, I feel like it's been changing, but it hasn't gone there yet. I still see kids who grew up with a very harsh Islam that, and it's not even a harsh Islam, it's just harshness in general. Because Islam is not a religion that forces harshness upon kids. And there's this teaching from Ali ibn Talib, radiallahu ta'ala, and one of my friends was telling me about how you should raise your kid in sections of seven. So like the first 7 years, you coddle them, they're kids, so you treat them like a kid. You help develop that relationship to Allah through a means of warmth and connection. Mm-hmm. And I think this is Soul Food, this podcast you recommended to me, talking about like, or no, not Soul Food. This was Double Take from Yaqeen Institute, talking about like the warmth that you have to develop with your child in order for them to actually like be Muslim. Because there's always another hadith that a lot of people bring up about how like, a child is given Islam, and that Islam is only taken away by nature versus nurture. Like kids are always born with Islam nature-wise, but it's their nurture that takes away their iman. Mm. Like yes, that is a sahih hadith, but at the same time, realizing that you can't expect to not take away that just because you're Muslim, that your child will also be Muslim if you don't develop that warmth in that connection with them. And that's what there's a really great episode of Double Take talking about the warmth that you've developed in those like those first 7 years, and just with your child in general, like when it comes to Islam, that's how you instill Islam. So yeah, and then the second two sevens were like the middle sevens, like you discipline them, and then the last seven you develop a relationship and stuff like that. So
yeah. And we can extrapolate that to a personal sense, that maybe if some of us haven't felt that growing up, like let's say that wasn't the kind of structure that our parents took, or we did have a teaching of a very harsh Islam. Like it doesn't mean this is game over, right? Like right now we're just talking about it, and you know that you're hearing from people that Islam is filled with a lot of love, and it's filled with a lot of like, it's meant to not make you feel lost, right? It's meant to give you something to connect on. So if you know that some individuals, like this is something I had to like remove my ego for. I always thought like deep down inside, like I know what Islam is for its realness, and there's no way that they're just people are like coming up with the stuff, they're deluded, right? But the thing is, if there are people out there who are preaching this connection, who, you know, are living that connection too, like Omar Suleiman's Instagram is pretty much my favorite thing ever, because it's just him playing football with a bunch of kids all the time. And like my point being is like his entire persona is very like and this is something that we talked about in the last episode with the guest, but it's very grateful and very gratitude filled. If there are people out there who are Muslims, who have, and those are the leaders of our society, as well as Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his sunnah and what he preached, it was filled with that kind of love and that compassion and this kind of like connection with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, then remove your ego. Tell yourself like, you don't know what Islam is, right? Like, don't jump to conclusions. Don't think that this is something that is a religion that makes you feel lost and that has emptiness in it, etc. If there are examples such as that, right? And I think that was a big, removing ego is also a big part of, you know, going from feeling lost to feeling more connected, because room for that in Islam.
I forgot where I heard this a while ago, but it was like, Islam is a religion of following Allah and whatever he has like put down in the Quran and the Hadith, but you can't obey someone you don't know. So the first step of Islam is getting to know Allah, and that comes from putting in the work and putting in the time to learn about Islam and to pray. And prayer is like a communication. It's a connection with Allah. It's a direct line of communication that we have to Allah. And doing your salah and doing your dua, even when you feel lost, that is a way in which you get to know your Lord. And those are things that are very instrumental to bringing you back from a place of lostness.
No, yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. No, I'm just contemplating on that as well, because... Yeah. Sorry for that pause. If you're listening to the podcast on Spotify, I was just thinking about that. Actually, I'm going to talk to you about that after, because I'm actually curious about that a little bit more. But yeah, I agree with that. No, okay. So tying it all together, because that was a lot of different tangents that we went into. So
we went from talking about being lost to parenting to rock climbing, which I still don't know why I talked about rock climbing.
I have no idea, but at first I thought maybe you just had been rock climbing as
a kid. I've never rock climbed in my entire life. Something I want to do that's on my bucket list, but okay. I've never rock climbed before.
Yeah. But yeah, so tying it all back together. This is my synopsis, then you can give your synopsis, because I feel like both going to have some kind of variation on this.
For sure.
Feeling lost as a Muslim comes in a lot of different ways, whether it be disconnection, like feeling a disconnect, whether it be feeling lack of motivation, or pretty much for everyone, it's going to be different, right? But everyone, or majority of people, will go through a time period where they just don't feel that situated in their Islam, right? Mm-hmm. As a Muslim. And all I know from my experiences comes back to the hadith that we talked about in this episode, was no matter what, mm-hmm. no one is going to take care of you, forgive you, love you as much as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Definitely.
And no one is not going, your parents might end up hurting you by accident, right? Human beings are human. But no one is going to come at you with ill intentions except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So,
Without ill intentions.
Did I say that right? No. So basically no one, no,
English.
English. There is no one out there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only
person who comes at you, who comes with you with the love that no one else can give you.
Exactly. Without any ill intentions whatsoever.
Yeah.
So in the moments that you feel lost, in the moments that you feel disconnect, whatever your techniques are, you heard a few of our techniques, whatever your techniques are, you try and figure out how you can put yourself in the position for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love, mercy, and compassion. And the reason I'm not enforcing certain things, because I know a lot of like scholars and a lot of sheikhs will be like, oh, go pray. And yes, you should go pray and do your obligatory stuff. But I'm not saying any of that in this episode.
Yeah.
Because for every person, this is going to be different. And this is something that you're going to have to put in an active effort for. And I'm not going to lie to you, it's probably harder than hearing a sheikh say, just get up and go pray.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this is more real. This is like, okay, this is a you thing. Right?
Yeah.
So no matter what you do, though, you find out your techniques, you maybe heard some of ours, and you remove your ego, you remove those thoughts from your mind, and you let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala direct and guide you, even if it takes time. And that's just a matter of like situating and strengthening your belief and taqwa, right?
Yeah.
And then having more tawakkal in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's my synopsis. It's very like abstract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Especially when it comes to being lost, I think we definitely define like just being lost can mean a lot of things. It's a very broad concept, but we've talked about a couple of things today, like being lost when it comes to just not having direction in life, or being going away from Islam, or going away from the core beliefs, or even losing your iman sometimes, to being overwhelmed with sin. We've talked about a lot of what it means to be lost. And one of the things that I always come back to, and I think what the biggest takeaway that I've taken from our conversation today, is you need to have an immediate coping strategy for when you become lost. Like, kind of like a failsafe when it comes to your iman. Because it's true. Like, we're all, you may be Muslim, and we may have said the Shahada, and we believe in Allah. But there are times when you will lack direction. And when you do that, you need to have a failsafe in place. And for me, that's the Shahada. For you, that's like going to the masjid or things like that, or just pulling out the prayer mat. Whatever that strategy is, figuring out what drives you and what is your foundation of your belief and your identity, going back to that at the end of the day is what's going to help you get back on track. Because it's kind of like Islam is like you're like for like living life, it's just like you're going on, you're like a train on a track. But sometimes if you ever do get derailed, you need to have a failsafe that puts you back on the rail. So that's kind of what I've taken away from today's episode. And it's just that, once again, I feel like this is a common theme throughout a lot of our videos, but it's not something that happens overnight. Sometimes it does. Like, sometimes I'll be lost in the morning, and then alhamdulillah, like throughout the day, I'll work on some things, and then by the end of the day, I'll be like, okay, I'm good now. But sometimes it takes me a week. Sometimes it takes a month. Sometimes it takes a couple months. Whatever it is, take it day by day and realize that whatever steps you're taking, even if you feel like you're going through the motions, just taking those steps for the sake of Allah, for the sake of getting back on track, inshallah, Allah will come at you with more effort than you will ever put in.
Mm.
So inshallah, may Allah help us all for whenever, for all of us that are feeling lost out there, for whenever we feel lost, that Allah gets us back on track and helps us to come back to his way of life and to regain our iman.
Yeah.
Inshallah. Jazakallah khair for listening to episode 10 of The College Muslim. We'll see you all next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum.